Amen. We are in Psalm 103 today, probably one of the more famous psalms that are in the Word of God, and a psalm that you may not have realized you've been singing most of your life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And so many different iterations of this song over the generations. But isn't it incredible to think about David in his courts with the lute and the lyre playing this song, probably a different tune, but singing these words that we sang today. And by the way, you guys sounded great. You guys sounded great. I thought you were going to blow the roof off the top. That was awesome that we got a chance to sing to the Lord today. Now, last week we talked about Psalm 1, both of these psalms being written by David. And last week he said, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. It's like a tree planted by streams of water, right? We remember this term. And last week we talked about this word blessed. Blessed is the man. And it was this word esher in the Hebrew, and it meant happiness or contentment. And I hope you had a blessed week. Hope you had a week full of joy, compassion, and this word esher. And today we see a similar word. We see the word bless, but it's bless the Lord. And in the Hebrew, it's a different word today. It's bara is the word that we're going to talk about today. Can y'all say bara? It sounds like you're roaring. It kind of sounds fun to say bara, okay? And when you say bara, it means to praise, to kneel, right, to bless. So today, we're talking about how we can, with our life, with our soul, bless, sit beneath, kneel before, submit to the Lord. Different word. And you might say, well, hold on. Bless here in Psalm 1 and bless here, they're the same word in English, but how am I going to know the difference between these two blesses? Let me give you a hint. Where is the bless pointed? If the bless is pointed towards you, it doesn't mean kneel, right? People are not supposed to kneel before you, okay? If it's pointed towards the Lord, it's talking about reverence to Him. And so today, our goal and our thoughts and our mind is, how can we live a praise-filled life to the Lord? And that's what we're going to talk about as we walk through this psalm together. So bless the Lord, O my soul. So, oh my soul, we sing it so often, but what does it mean for us to bless the Lord with our soul? Our soul is what makes you, you. It's your personality, it's your likes, it's your dislikes, it's your temperament, it's your emotions mixed in there. It's what makes you, you. For example, y'all, if you don't know Eric Dean, you should get to know Eric Dean. He has a beautiful soul, all right? I know he's a beautiful man as well, but he's got a beautiful soul. Soft, gentle, wise, just an awesome man. But we also have something in common that we learned together. We love cake and ice cream, okay? Anybody out there, cake and ice cream people? Okay, good. So cake and ice cream, but we do something different. We just mash them together. Like, same bowl, smashing them until it turns into this like lumpy, soupy mess. Anybody out there? Any kindred souls? Willing to admit it? Thank you. Thank you. One. Okay, there's three of us kindred souls in it. And people look at us like we're like, those are not supposed to touch. Those are supposed to be separate, right? And I had a friend, Mitch Phillips, who would never eat the same or never eat two foods together. It was like all the corn, all the mashed potatoes, then all the meat. There are some of y'all kindred souls out there, and you're like, this is the grossest story. Cake and ice cream together, right? But we're kindred souls in that. We have similar likes in that way. A little cinnamon on top, right? But this is one of those things that we have personalities. We have things that we like. And so this verse is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Are you willing to submit you, all of you, to bless the Lord? Is who you are a blessing to God? That's the question. Bless the Lord, O my soul, the part of me that is me, bless the Lord. And then in case you missed it, he says, and all that's within you and everything else, right? Body, soul, spirit, all those things together, that we need to be blessing the Lord. That's our calling. That's our Lord, to glorify the name of Christ. Amen? Like, our goal is to be the light, and we're only the light because we're plugged into the source, which is Him. And so we're talking about that today, and we're looking at this man named David, who had a heart after God. And this Psalm 103 was written later in his life, after he'd been through many, many days. He had slung some rocks at some giants, right? He had made some big mistakes, and he's looking back on his life, and he's saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And what is the name that we want to bless? The name of what? Jesus, right? We want to bless the name of Jesus. We sing it. We want to take it with us and bless his holy name. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Say it in the best way that I think we could possibly see it in and say it. And here's what it says in verses 9 through 11. "Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen? So every day, we should start this way. Every day, we should start our day thinking about the name that's above every name. Because what is our life compared to eternity? Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's get back into it. Okay, Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." This is the theme, right? This is poetry. This is wisdom literature. It's not meant to just be truth after truth after truth. It's meant to be a lesson that he's teaching us how to live this way. So verse number 2 says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So if you want to live a life that blesses the Lord, here's the first thing. Remember what Christ has done for you. Just remember. Do you remember what Christ has done for you? Now, I think back to my sophomore year in high school when I came to know the Lord. And if you would have seen me before that, you would have thought, man, that's a really good kid. I had a really strict parents, and I lived a very moral life. But underneath of that shell of goodness was this scared little kid that was scared of failure. I was really gifted and talented at things, and so I got loved by people when I did well. But what happens when you don't do well and you get corrected? I felt like they hated me. And I went in this weird journey between love and hate, and if I made the shot, they loved me. If I missed the shot, they hate me. And it was this roller coaster of emotions and this scared little kid, anxious about everything, stressed out, all this fear that was in there, but on the outside, I looked like this strong Christ follower, even though I didn't know him. And I think about, where would that scared little kid be without Christ? Have you thought about your life? Where would you be without Jesus? What would your life look like? I know how hard it is to walk with Christ with him and the Spirit of God with me, let alone without him. I would have been a depressed little kid, 49-year-old little kid, playing video games every chance I got and trying to find love through football and love through the things of the world instead of having a peace that transcends all understanding. Have you thought about what Kyle used to look like? How many of y'all were here before there actually was a Plum Creek? Anybody out there? Okay, there used to, I know it's hard for y'all to imagine, there used to be no houses in Plum Creek. This was Constable Kohler's property, right? And this was rattlesnake heaven. People would just jump in their truck, four-wheeled out here with their shotgun, because we were country school at that point. Just, you'd be at school and you hear shotguns going off just down the road because people were shooting rattlesnakes all over this property. There was no houses here. Now there's about to be 2,500 more homes right across the street. We used to go after lunch, and when we would go to church and go to lunch afterwards, we went to Dairy Queen or Fonzie's. Fonzie's, just this greasy burger bar. It was awesome, all right? It was just you could, like, you walk in there and you gained weight before your food got there, okay? It was just that greasy, but it was awesome. Now it's Pisces and it's seafood. It feels healthy. Back then, it was just like, that's where you went because there were only two places to go. We didn't have an HEB. We didn't have a Chick-fil-A. I mean, what kind of town was it, right? I mean, that's how we were. We were just this different place. And now all of a sudden you look around and you can't drive anywhere without hitting a pothole or almost hitting a biker. There's people everywhere. This is Kyle. We've changed and we moved so much. Have you thought about the history of this church? If there was no Plum Creek, there was no Fellowship of Plum Creek. But then it started in a home with five families. And then it went to Rocking Horse Academy. And then it went to Nagel Elementary School, where every one of y'all were on the teardown crew or the setup crew. Because if you came to first service, the chairs weren't out yet. You had to put them up. If you're in last service, like grab a chair, put it on a rack. I mean, my car was like a moving van with stuff in it all the time. It was awesome. It was awesome being in the sweaty gym, smelling stinky feet, worshiping Jesus, right? That's what it was. And then we got this building. We're like, wow, it's so big. It's so awesome. And that was the history. And God has just been faithful through all of that because it's not about us. It's about a work that God is doing in the lives of his people, and we get to be a part of that. So do you remember? We have to remember what Christ has done for us. Because when we don't remember, we start letting pride come in. In fact, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. In January of 2022, we're going to start the book of Exodus. And so we'll be jumping into Deuteronomy all the time, looking at these people that they're just so silly, aren't they? They're not like us at all. But maybe they are. But anyway, in chapter 8, verse 11 in Deuteronomy, it says this. It says, "Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he might confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God." Does that not describe us today? We have forgotten. We so often forget what God has done for us. And when we do that, we will surely perish because we'll rely on ourselves and we're weak, but we're not as strong as we think we are. Let's rely on the one who is that strong. Let's rely on him for his ways. And so let's not forget all his benefits. And then he's going to list for us some of the benefits of being on the Lord's team, some of the benefits of remembering what Christ has done for us. And we're going to see a couple of different things that happen in the book of Psalms. We're going to see some parallelism where he keeps repeating himself. We're going to see some imagery. We're going to see some highlighted contrast between things, all these things that are done in poetry and in spoken word. That's what we're reading here. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases." We're forgiven. Isn't that good news? And if you remember in the Old Testament, there's these three words for sin, right? We have sin, which means that you just mess up. And then we have trespass, which means there's a line you're not supposed to cross, and we cross it anyway. That's trespass. But then there's iniquity. It's this word of like, we start planning on getting to that line. We start thinking about how we can get to this line and how we can cross over it. He forgives us even for that. Even for your thoughts, even for your plans to sin, Christ forgives us because that's good news. Because it's not just whether you murder your brother, is it? It's do you hate them in your mind and in your heart? See, our sin starts somewhere in Christ, and God said, "No, I forgive you of all those things." And then the second part of the verse, he heals all your diseases. Now, we want to, in the United States of America, and in honestly, in the prosperity gospel, they want to make this a statement to say that if you just pray, God will heal you. Now, does God heal people? Amen. Josh Boyd, walking around, came over to our house yesterday. He's spry and going in. He's got cancer growing in his body. He's like, "Woo, the Lord is doing something crazy there." But does this verse promise that God will heal all your diseases. No. In fact, if you look in Isaiah chapter 1, it starts talking about our sin and our iniquity, and it talks about all the things that God has just warned us about. In fact, let's read it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. It's just a few verses to the right. Isaiah 1, verses 4 and 5 says this, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord, and they have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint." And it takes sin, and it talks about the effects that sin would play on your life. What is the disease that we need healed of? It's sin. It's our fleshly desires that lead us astray from blessing the Lord, oh my soul. These desires that are in us that just come to the surface and they make our soul sick. Now, God does not always heal our diseases, does he? But he's always with us. He never forsakes us. He walks with us through those trials. So don't let people take this text and proof it out of there and make it a statement. Even when we look at Isaiah 53, verse 4, where it talks about that he has been pierced for our transgressions, been crushed for iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed from this disease of sin that wants to ravage our lives. Don't believe the false things that are in our world. Trust in God and trust in his word. And verse 4 says this, "Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." See, this is what's incredible. He rescued us from the pit, but he didn't just get you to like the base level of you're saved as if you just barely escaped the fire. He then crowned you as a son and daughter of the king with steadfast love and mercy. Who could use some steadfast love? Right? You feel lonely sometimes. Don't forget this verse. That he doesn't just rescue you from your loneliness, but he gives you companionship through the Holy Spirit and with him and with the body of Christ as a whole. See, Christ doesn't want you just to survive. He wants you to thrive in a relationship with him. That's his goal and his heart for you, to thrive in relationship with him, with his steadfast love and his mercy. And verse 5 says, "Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You can be satisfied in him. Do you realize that? You could be satisfied with nothing else except Jesus. With all the things of the world taken away from you, you can be satisfied with just Jesus. That's good news. That's the good news of the gospel. This is what we get in eternity as we get more Jesus. Unveiled in all his glory, we get to see Jesus as he truly is. That's our reward that we look forward to. Now, if I were to ask you, how many of you wish you could have some youth back in your step? Anybody wish they could have a little spring back in the step? You know, this last week we had VBS here, right? We got a couple VBS shirts over here, Island Guides, right? By the way, thank you so much. Those of you that came out and helped, we had about 180 kids every day. Yeah, y'all give them some love. That was awesome. I tell you what, youth like the eagles, they were flying around everywhere, making bird noises, talking about beacon, right, and all these different things that are going on. It was awesome, but we didn't help. We have this sweet little group of older ladies, I call them the lunch ladies, right? I go crash their lunch group sometimes. They just kept making crafts, they kept making snacks, and every snack was sugar. We're gonna make the Bible out of a brownie with colored icing, right? And then none of those brownies survived to get home. And then the kids, bing, bing, they were everywhere. Youth like eagles. We wish we had that. I wish I had my youth renewed like the eagles instead of feeling the next day like I feel after I play Ultimate Frisbee later, right? So we want to have that youth. We can find that spring in our step. We can find that youthful enthusiasm in the Spirit of God because he satisfies. Look at verse 6. It says, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." Justice and righteousness are the Lord's. Do we believe that, church? Be careful, because if you say this in the world today, people are going to say, well, why isn't God doing his thing? There's injustice in our world. there's wrong being done in our world. God needs to get to work. God's been working. God, our God, owns justice and righteousness. And sometimes in our earthly minds, right, in our flesh, we think, well, why doesn't God get working? And he's working way too slow. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Every time that you think, man, God just needs to get a hurry up on this thing going, I want you to remember this verse and kind of have it trapped in the back of your heart and back of your mind, right? Here's what it says. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards us, wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. The Lord's timing is perfect. That means that the trial that you're going through that may seem like it's lasting longer than you want it to, or you feel like, man, all of these things just keep happening, the Lord is in it. The Lord is there. He is patient with us. He is patient with our world. Because he could solve the problems of our world really quick. Just rip off the roof, rip off the sky, and come back. Amen? We're looking forward to that day. But there are a lot of people that are going to perish. We need to wake up and start telling about the hope that we have in Jesus. Bless the Lord with the hope that we have in him. And he gives us some examples. Look what he says here in verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. I would highlight that one. I'd write it down. I'd put it up on my mirror in the morning. That isn't this an amazing description of God? He's merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, praise the Lord, nor enjoy us according to our iniquities, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. This is the love of the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, right, it talks about us being more than conquerors. What can separate us from the love of God? Height and depth? Angels or demons? Rulers, authorities? Anything in this world? No, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from what Christ has done. That's why we remember. You know, we do remember things, don't we? In fact, look at what it says in verse 12. So far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. This is good news, isn't it? As far as the east is from the west. He didn't say north-south, because if you go to the North Pole, then you start going south again, right? It's east to west, never any, as far as it is. Why do we remember our sins so much? If God has cast our sins away as far as the east is from the west, why do we remember our mistakes so much? Why do we let them burden us and stay with us? If Christ forgives them, maybe you should forgive yourself for your sins and your mistakes and realize that you're free. Do you realize that? In Christ, you are free. The mistakes you've made in the past, they aren't following you. In Christ, you have freedom from those things. That's the good news of the gospel. Now you're like, wait, hold on, Pastor. You just don't know what sins I've done. Like, you just don't know how bad I was back then. You just don't know me. You just know the new version of me. Who's the psalm written by? David, right? If you haven't had an affair and murdered the husband, you're probably okay. All right? I mean, David here he knows sin. He's made tons of mistakes, but he had a heart for God because he always ran back to him. Do you really think about this in your logic, do you really think there's a sin so big that the cross couldn't cover it? Do you really think Christ's blood is that cheap? Or that his grace is not sufficient for you? Why, when you think about it, Christ came and died for those very mistakes we make, not so we could relive them over and over, but so we could be free. And when we're free, we can bless the Lord with all of our soul because we've been set free from such incredible things. Verse 13 says, and as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like the grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. We need to remember ourselves, remember and compare ourselves to God. Don't we like to compare ourselves to one another? Don't we like to get so worked up and worried about this world that we live in, when in actuality, we're like dust? What is our life compared to eternity? And in eternity, what does God promise us? Things that we can't even imagine He has planned in store for us. Why do we let anxiety and stress consume us when we know that this is the promise of God, that He has a future for us, a good and a beautiful future? Look at verse 17. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Oh, I pray that the Lord's love will be poured out generation after generation, that we can leave a legacy of the love of God, of reverence for God, of the name of Christ for generation after generation. That goes for us in our families. Some of y'all in here, you're first generation Christians. You didn't grow up in a Christian home. You're the first in your family to commit your life to Christ, and you're going to leave a legacy of faith after you. Some of you, you've been in a generational Christian family for years and years, and praise the Lord for that. Continue that legacy. Some of you, you're like, but I don't have children. Disciple. Disciple other people and leave a legacy of Christ after you, that the people that you disciple, and that you have grandchildren in the faith, that you can pour out the love of God that's been poured out on you, and you can pour it out on others. Do you want to leave a legacy? What is this life going to be like after you're gone? What is the legacy you leave behind? I pray that we leave a legacy of faith and steadfast love and blessing to the Lord. And then he finishes with this. He says, bless the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. In the heavenly realms, they bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And that's our commandment. Are we going to live a life that blesses the Lord? Lord Jesus, we come to You thankful for Your word. Lord, I pray that I can live a life that brings blessing to Your name. That, Lord, who I am, how You've created me to be, that I can submit that to the will of God. That I can show You the reverence that You deserve, that through my life You will be glorified. Lord, I pray that over our church, that as we walk into this world, that we will bless Your name by the way that we live our life, by the way that we trust You, by the way that we're satisfied in You. Lord, help us to remember what You have done for us. Lord, I thank You for the Lord's Supper that helps us remember. Lord, I thank You for worship that helps us remember. I thank You, Lord, for friendships and family, Lord, that help us remember Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to know You. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus, and His death on the cross. We pray all this in His name. Amen.